So can you start off by just telling us your name, the district you represented in the Texas House, and the years that you served?
My name is Sylvia Romo. I represented District 125 in San Antonio, Texas. And I was in, 73, 74? Yeah.
Great. And I understand that you have done a project similar to this one, where you've interviewed women in the Texas House.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
And so what sparked your interest in that or prompted you to do that?
Well, I love history. And I noticed that when I was in the House that I had all these stories to tell about the experiences that I've had while being a legislator. And so that particular year, it was the 100th anniversary of the first woman to be elected a state legislator. And I belonged to this national women's organization, and I was in charge of the Texas celebration. Every state it was supposed to have had a celebration. And I started thinking, well, you know, it's nice to have a gala, party, whatever, but I want to know more about what women experience. I've got my stories, so I wanted to know the stories of the women that came before me. And so I was able to raise the money and get some sponsors. And then we started selecting some of the women. And when I talked to them, I said, look, I want to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. Don't sugarcoat it. You tell me how it really was. And it was amazing to find out some of the stories. Some of them made me laugh. Some of them made me want to cry. And some angered me.
What was the most surprising thing you learned from that?
Well, just like when I was here, I think women tend to be underrated. I remember that when I first time on the House floor, and I was so excited, thinking, oh my God, this is just wonderful, so much responsibility. But I had some of these guys, older guys, practically pat me in the head and said, don't you worry, little lady. You just watch what we do, because as a freshman, we don't expect you to do anything. Well, as a freshman, I passed 27 bills. I passed a major constitutional amendment, and I noticed things that were just weren't right. For instance, they may have been minor, but to me, they meant that women weren't important. And that, for instance, there was a spittoon on the House floor. Various spittoons where the guys would chew the tobacco and spit. And I thought, how disgusting that we have to be subjected to that. So I went to the chief of staff, and I said, look, you know, why are these things out there? And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that. They've just been there so long. So they pull those out. Then another thing I noticed is there, obviously there's two restrooms. One of them was for man legislators, mm-hmm. and the other one were just a restroom, women's restroom. So in the man section, nobody could go into that restroom unless you happen to be an elected legislator, man legislator. And they had their shoe shines and all these niceties. And in the women's restroom, everybody could go in there, reporter, the staff. There was no privacy. So anytime that we women wanted to get to talk about a particular bill, we had to look under the stall to make sure nobody else was there listening. And so I went to the chief of staff and I said, look, either you open up both restrooms to everybody or you close the restroom to the women only for women legislators. And he looked at me with a blank look. He had never thought about it. So they changed that. So, I mean, those are considered minor, but yet they're not.
Right.
And as I said earlier, you know, when, and I'm not to say that these men were not deliberately disrespectful. They just weren't used to having women around that they would feel they'd be their equal. And so I got a button that I used to wear that said, don't call me honey, don't call me sweetie, call me representative. And I wore it on the House floor to let the guys know, you want to be respected, then so do I. And they were just shocked. They hadn't thought about it. They hadn't thought about it. So it's these stories that that I experienced. So I wanted to know about the women before me, you know, what were their experiences? So one particular, their committee, this one woman in the committee, they were meeting in the evening, and they just so happened to meet in a men's only club. But she thought, well, I'm not coming in as a woman. I'm coming in as a legislator to discuss our committee. They wouldn't let her in the place because she wasn't a woman, even though she was a legislator, and she got no support from her fellow legislators. They said, well, sorry, see you tomorrow. I mean, and so these things were happening. And I noticed also recently that there are less women legislators now than there were when I was there. You know, I don't know what's causing it. I don't know, again, whether women are being taken more seriously. I know that I feel that we are women are half of the population. Then out of 150, we should at least have 75. Because that would reflect the population. I mean, I don't care what your background is, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, I'm a CPA, a nurse, whatever. We all have different perspectives. And I think we can generate better legislation if we all discuss it and talk about the differences, because I may not know your side unless you explain it, and you may not know my side unless I explain it. And being to negotiate and compromise is for the benefit of the people. We were elected to serve the people. And unfortunately, too many of our legislators think too many in party lines and not what's good for the people. You know, I felt this awesome responsibility, not only to my district, but to the people of Texas. Because even though you do represent your district, whatever legislation you try to pass or defeat, it's going to impact everybody in the state. So I think when we have different diversities, when we have different professions, when we have definitely an equal of the population, we're going to get better legislation. And that's supposed to be the key.
Right. Were there any moments where you thought, oh my gosh, I'm witnessing history right now?
I did. As I mentioned earlier, I was told that I was the first freshman to pass a major constitutional amendment, which requires 100 out of 150. And later on, I found out they had been trying to pass this legislation for several sessions, and they had not been able to do it. And the bill originated in the Senate, and then it was given to me in the House, and I guess they thought, she's a freshman, we'll just go through and see what happens. Well, I got it passed because I thought it was a good bill, and I remember we had to debate it way late at night. I mean, it was late. And I gave my passionate speech, and I was able to get it on the second reading. And so the next day was going to be the key. And I remember walking out, and it was dark, and I looked up the sky, and I saw the moon. It was a bright moon. And all of a sudden, I just felt this responsibility, at the same time energy, but at the same time scared, and at the same time responsible for trying to get this bill passed, because I felt it was a bill that was needed. Basically, what the bill was going to do is it was going to provide funding for women and minority businesses, the area of which is much hard for them to get funding. And most businesses fail because of lack of capital. So to me, and it's not like we were giving money away. It was just, it's like an SBA at a local level, at a state level. So to help these businesses to prosper and to grow, to me, it was a win-win. You know, I have a business background, and I understand business. I understand taxes, but I also understand what is fairness and what is just. And I was very passionate about this bill, and I got it passed. And it was really funny because, well, it wasn't funny, it was stressful, because I got my 100 votes, and it was a Friday, and a lot of the legislators leave early on Friday, and so one of the members challenged it, and they asked for a voice vote. Mm-hmm. And I knew two of them had left, and I thought, darn it. I mean, because I, you know, if I don't get my 100, that's it. And so, you know, they went, yay, now, down, and then I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? And one of a Republican legislator who had voted no, and I had explained the bill to him in the past, and he went ahead and said, well, my machine malfunctioned, and I really voted yes for it. So I thought, okay, I got my 99 votes. And one more, you know, I kept going and going. And then right before the speaker says, you know, pass or not pass, and then he said, let the record show the speaker voting yay. Boom, get up and down, I had my 100 votes. And let me tell you, I still got the goosebumps right now thinking about this. And you could have heard a pin drop. Because nobody, I think, has ever heard the speaker vote for a particular bill. And then later on, everybody just came to me and just said, congratulations, this is wonderful, this and that. So, yeah, that was one of my proudest moments. And I had also one particular bill that I thought was a no-brainer because it involved protecting children. A lot of the children are recruited, especially minority kids, to go door-to-door selling candies or whatever. And I've had, in fact, the reason why I did this bill is because one of the kids came to my house rather late. It was dark, and I thought, what are you doing here by yourself? Well, I'm trying to sell these candies and all that. So I started researching a little bit, and I said, you know what? You know, these kids are brought in, a truck comes in, brings them from their neighborhood to nicer neighborhoods to sell these candies, and they probably only make, you know, 25 cents to the dollar or whatever, or maybe even less. And so my bill restricted when the sun goes down, then no more would be legal to have these kids out there. Didn't put a time because we know the sun comes down at different times, but the sun comes down, no, you can't. And then I made it a large, I can't remember right now what the punishment was, but it was per child. So if the guy who had 20 kids, okay, he had 20 penalties. So I thought, that's a no-brainer. Everybody cares about kids. So I went to the hospital, we're talking about it. So somebody came from the back mic and started talking against it. And he said, because it would impend free enterprise. And I was just shocked. Free enterprise? You don't care about where these kids are going to be abused, but you're concerned about somebody not making a buck, you know, abusing the kids? I mean, I was amazed because I thought it was a no-brainer, and yet, you know, somebody was looking at it from a different point of view. I didn't pass the bill the first session, but I did pass the second session. So that made me feel good. I mean, I've got so many stories. At one time, I was coming in the morning, right before session, with my colleagues. And I always wore pantsuits, feminine blouse, but I was wearing a tie, a business tie. I thought I looked cute, you know? And I was stopped from going into the house. And I gave that, you know, Sergeant's aid. I looked at him, and it's like, you have got to be kidding. And then my other colleague says, hey, bud, if you know better, you better let her go. But the point is that he stopped me because I looked different. Not anything else, you know? Right. It's not like I had cleavage or whatever, you know?
Right.
Because I had a men's tie on. And, I mean, it's just these little things that came up while, you know, I was in serving. Right. And, you know, I've served in other capacities, public service. Mm-hmm. But if anybody tells me, you know, what would you like to do again? I would like to come back as a legislator because I think that you can have quite an impact. I mean, you can really change things for the better for everyone. Now I realize that, and I was told that it's difficult to compromise currently. Mm-hmm. It's gotten too political. When I was there, that doesn't mean that we all agreed on everything, but at least we could sit down and talk about it. And I don't know where that still is done now. I hope that they're able to compromise and sit down and think what's good, you know, good for the people, but I don't know. Nevertheless, I still would like to come back.
Right. Well, just one more question. Is there any advice you would give a freshman legislator, maybe in particular a woman freshman legislator, on how to
Especially women. I think women do need advice. Mm-hmm. For one thing is be fearless. You know, it's very easy to try to intimidate a woman, especially if she's petite. Don't let them intimidate you. And which can easily happen. You know, I just remember another story, if you don't mind me telling you about it. I was in the committee. I was on two business committees, I guess because I was the CPA. I was in Ways and Means and also Business and Investments. And so this bill was coming. It was five of the leading leaders, you know, were sponsoring this bill that was going to alter the way franchise business is conducted here. And at first blush, I thought it was a pretty good bill. I started reading it. It came to the committee that I was in. And I looked at it and said, you know, this is not a very good bill. It's going to really make it very difficult. It's going to cost business. It's negative. But they weren't seeing it that way. They were trying to help a constituent, but they were going to make it worse for everybody else. So in the committee, I voted, you know, against it. I didn't. I thought it was bad. They put it in a subcommittee. I was one of three in the subcommittee. And then I had one of the major guys come over and talk to me. So they would really like for you to pass this. And I said, look, I'm sorry. And in fact, it was Mark Stiles, who was the chair of calendars, which is a very powerful position. And I said, Mark, I'm sorry. I don't think this is a good bill. And he says, okay. So then what they did is they brought the bill over from the Senate, mm-hmm. and were able to get it sent, get through, and it was going to hit the House floor. So, and I thought about it, and I thought, okay, you're just a freshman, let it go, or you really think it's a bad bill? So I wrote a letter explaining my reasons why I thought this was a bad bill, and they had to, my recommendation was not to vote for it. And at the very bottom, I put in Latin, if you can't do any good, then don't do any harm. So some of them were very impressed with that. They were very impressed, and they came and said, like, you know what, we support you. We support you. The bottom line is the bill was defeated. And then I thought, oh, hell, I'm just beginning my career, and I am cooked in this house because these were, you know, three, five of the top guys. And it just so happens that Mark Style and I became the best of friends because I earned his respect. And so I remember going to him when I had some bills that I needed to go out on the House floor and ask him, hey, Mark, can you, you know, get these bills out on the House floor? How many do you have? I have 10. Well, how many do you want? I mean, which one do you want out there? I said, I want all 10. And he got them out. But I took the chance. I did what I thought was the right thing to do, not maybe the politically smart thing to do. I did the right thing. And in the long run, it turned out to be the better. So my advice to legislators, and definitely women legislators, is you do the right thing. You know, it may not seem like the right thing politically at the time, but if you do the right thing, at least you can, one, sleep better, because you know you did the right thing. And who knows, they may respect you even more than whether you're considered a pushover. Because that's the worst thing you can do, is they will count you as a pushover, and your opinion will mean zero. Right. So whether you win or lose, you get out there and you push, be fearless, and follow your conscience and do the right thing.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
Wonderful.